This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I will also ask this question. Well, I know a lot of Carolina fans are chiming in this morning about Player of the Year. Here's another one for you. You can hit us up on social media, tag at ACC Network or at Mark Packer, at West Durham, whatever your choice. Hashtag Packer and Durham. Was Saturday Carolina's biggest regular season win ever? Given all the landscape. Because what'd you say kind of late in the game? That's one you can kind of...
take to your grave.
Yeah. You can live on that one a while.
That to me is the water cooler game. You know, and you get into barking back and forth right. in the shades of blue. I guarantee when you get in that barking contest, you will bring up that game.
Yeah.
If you're a North Carolina fan. Guarantee. Yeah,
you start out with your Mount Rushmore conversations, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Duke guy starts leaning in on national championships, and then all of a sudden.
Yeah, but the counterpunch.
The counterpunch is that.
I mean, that's going to be part of the water cooler discussion, is what that is.
All right. So, was Saturday their best, biggest regular season win ever? All that and more coming up in a moment.
I got to tell you, I like the new ACC Network basketball that was acquired in Greensboro. Don't you?
Yeah. Heck yeah. Like it all.
Kind of like it.
Although, my college roommate, Tony Chavis, was really impressed we had the TF1000 here.
What is this?
It's a legacy TF1000.
No, oh. I didn't know there's a difference.
Yeah, they're both. They're both same design. This is like one of the old school. It's a legacy TF1000.
But this is official game ball.
Well, that deep channel design over here.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
But they're basically the same ball.
No, they're going to stay right there, collect dust.
Yeah, that'll be good. All right, here we go. Best of the weekend. Why not start with Westmore and the Wolfpack, right? I mean, you win a three-peat, you get to be at the top of the list. NC State captures their third straight ACC women's basketball title, their first as a regular season champ and outright champ since the 80s, and congratulations to the Wolfpack. They beat Miami yesterday, who was the 7 seed, who, by the way, Katie Meyer's club deserves a lot of credit. Upset of Louisville on the Destiny Harden jump shot and then beat Notre Dame in the semis to get to yesterday's title game.
I mean, like I said, They had a target on them from day one, right? They handled the regular season. The league is loaded, and then they handled the tournament going back to back to back. Impressive. That is championship DNA is what that is.
All right. Pretty good weekend for the Wolfpack. 3 straight women's basketball crowns, 4 straight ACC wrestling titles. They polished that up yesterday in Charlottesville. Great to have Sean Kenny and Rock Harrison on our coverage yesterday.
Well, they were great.
And I mean, the Wolfpack got to work early. Jacob Camacho at 125 beat Sam Latona. Then you had Tariq Wilson win at 149. Ed Scott at 157. Trent Heidley the winner at 184. My goodness. They were the NC State individual champions on the way to the team title. I promise you at 174, Makai Lewis was a man.
That was a tough bracket, too, now.
Yeah, it was.
We had some dudes in that list. Now.
Well, Clay Lout we know about.
Yeah.
Hayden Heidley we know about.
Yeah.
Nino Bonacorsi at 197 with Isaac Trumbull. That was a show. Nathan Traxler and Tyree Helton, also a show at 285, by the way.
You know, Ed Scott knocking off Austin O'Connor, NCAA champ. Yep. Jake Wenzel, 3-time ACC champion. I mean, there's some dudes on this list right
Dude,
here.
Dude, I want – that's why you got, better than 36 NCAA invitations?
I'm telling you, wrestling in this league is really good. We've really enjoyed it, covering it here on Packer and Durham.
So, looking forward to more coverage of the postseason there. All right. I don't know how this made best of the weekend.
I'll tell you why, because I put the list together.
Editorial error on my part, on their part.
Who's they?
Whoever decided this was going to be best of the weekend.
What do you mean when this is awesome? You kidding me?
How come we don't have the video of Liz Kittley's fear in her face when she sees you with the controls?
No fear. I parked. Let me show you. Look at this. Look at Wes. He's like, please don't kill anybody, Packer.
Yeah.
And I parked. Look how this like parallel park. I just handed it off like, man, this is easy. Look at that.
Look at that pumping the fist.
Piece
like
of
I made a putt.
I'm telling you what. Nobody had a better weekend than me. And I'm going to explain it during this segment. Not only was I flying the shoe blimp successfully again, as I put on Twitter, no one was injured. There were no puncture wounds None. Now, granted, the Virginia banner up there in the upper deck might need to be restitched, but we'll get to that later on.
Okay.
But the blimp was perfectly executed.
Okay.
Perfectly executed.
Sure.
Yeah, no sure to it. Absolutely.
What, go on with the rest of your weekend.
Let's get in there.
Okay.
And there's more to it. I put this list together, believe me.
Buddy Boeheim needed 30 to win the regular season scoring crown in the ACC.
He got it. I thought this was the safest bet of the weekend.
Did you really?
I did.
Wow.
I thought for sure that, you know, coach was going to go, hey, son's going to lead. He's going to get 30. He may have to take 50 shots, but he didn't. He's pretty efficient.
Yeah.
Perfect from the line. And Buddy Boeheim, like I said, is probably the only positive from the weekend in Syracuse.
Yeah. So Buddy Boeheim, 30. He'll win the regular season title. Clemson, 4 straight going to Brooklyn. Tigers have taken that Wake Forest win and maximized it, Pack, to finish strong in the regular season.
Won at Boston College. You did the Georgia Tech game where they looked like they were dead in the water in the second half, down 13. They come back and win. This was a good win. Virginia Tech's been playing really good basketball, and the Hokies desperately needed to win this game. We'll get into that to the worst list because this was a tough loss for the Hokies. And who knows, Wes, we may get this rematch next week.
Yeah.
Actually, this week in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
they are on the collision course.
Yep,
Clemson gets NC State first. Winner of that game gets the Hokies.
Congratulations, Danny Hall and Georgia Tech. Baseball this morning. They took 2 of 3 from the Bulldogs. They played 3 in a row, by the way, Atlanta, Athens, and at Couray Park in Gwinnett County.
Had a chance for the sweep.
Yeah, sure did. Jackets get 2 of 3, though.
Good series.
Mm-hmm. I like when they do these rivalry series early in the year like this. Now, they're going to get lost in terms of the bigger college baseball picture because they happen in the month of March. But nonetheless, I like Georgia Tech winning. UNC's bus ride back to Chapel Hill, best of the weekend.
Has to. I mean, if you're a North Carolina fan and you and I were watching the bus pull in prior to tip-off, and it was like, wow, they're getting off this bus. The crowd was crazy outside of Cameron. And then North Carolina just got the job done, man. They just got it done Saturday night. And you know that 8-mile bus ride back to town. I understand they got out early and partied with everybody on Franklin Street.
They stopped on Franklin Street, and Hubert Davis got off the bus.
Waved everybody.
And people went. And did you saw some of the pictures
yeah,
from Franklin Street?
Wild.
Telling you now, Duke Carolina, different thing now. It's a different deal.
I had some guy on the radio show Friday afternoon say, this is the most overrated. It's nothing like Louisville, Kentucky. I'm like, listen, I appreciate the hatred and passion involved in Louisville and Kentucky, and they're 80 miles apart, but they've only played 54 games. There's nothing like Duke, North Carolina in hoops. There's nothing like
it. I'm not sure there's anything like it in college sports. I think Alabama, Auburn is this thing over here that's
– Ohio State, Michigan's great. Army, Navy is
Army,
unique.
Navy. But Duke, Carolina now, we're talking about 2 programs for a sustained amount of time that have been excellent.
Yeah, until last year they had a streak. I think it was 153 straight games in which one of them was ranked from 1960 to last year. I mean the numbers, and again, we talk about the numbers. The last 100's always 50-50.
Right.
Amount of points are about the same. They both win national titles. I mean, they're just – it's just unlike anything else.
All right. Let's get you a couple softball notes here. How about Virginia Tech softball?
Yeah.
Huh?
Hokies are
they
hot.
Sweep Clemson.
Yeah, going to road.
Keely Rochard delivering it. Huh?
Tell you what now, Hokies are balling. And they go down to Tiger Town and go W.
What's Valerie Cagle looking over the outfield wall for? Oh,
that
my
ball
goodness.
Hit Roddy Jones' car.
Wow.
Hokies are balling, man. 6 in the country.
Duke sweeps Georgia Tech in softball. Marissa Young had the big weekend a week ago, comes back, starts conference play, and takes the Jackets out, huh?
Defending ACC champs. Taking care of business. And Florida State, by the way, has been playing great, too, with Lonnie's team. But they lost yesterday to Pittsburgh. So here are your sweeps out of the gate with ACC play. Hokies on the road and Duke taking care of business.
How about that? Back to baseball. Clemson sweeps South Carolina in baseball over the weekend.
Tough weekend for the Gamecocks. Shane Beamer's still looking for his first point against Dabo.
Jeez.
Clemson baseball destroying the Gamecocks again, and in the women's program in Columbia losing yesterday. I mean, tough weekend for South Carolina.
Yeah. Boy,
but,
no kidding.
Tigers putting on them.
Monty Lee's team.
Undefeated.
Kind of building some momentum in the first 3 weeks of the season.
And, you know, given what happened last year, could not come at a better time. Clemson's off to a really, really nice start.
Tip of the cap to Katie Meyer. We told you at the top of the show today, out of the 7-seed spot, Miami makes a run to the finals before falling to NC State yesterday. She is a terrific coach.
Man, that game against Louisville, are you kidding me? By the way, a shout-out to BPI. I didn't put him on the worst list, so I'll give him a shout-out now. BPI, with 5 minutes to go in the Miami-Louisville game, gave Louisville a 99.9% chance to win. Lord. I am not making that up.
Lord.
99.9. That's not for Louisville either. No. That's for BPI.
All right. Virginia baseball's played 99 innings this year.
How about this one?
And has not trailed at the end of any of those 99 innings.
How about that stat?
That coming from Embrace the Pace, Embrace Pace UVA.
I like that, by the way. How about that stat? Who's, baby?
Wow.
They're balling too. There's some teams gotten off to some really good starts in baseball.
I'll let you have this last one.
All right, this is probably, again, if it wasn't the shoe blimp, which again is for me back-to-back years. Well, it's not really back-to-back since we didn't do a little shit, but I haven't screwed it up yet.
Right.
If it wasn't being at Cameron Indoor, if that wasn't good enough, this was. About 10 minutes before tip-off, this gentleman right here shows up, right? And you're going, all right, Pac, what's the story? Well, the story is the guy that you're looking at on the screen is the biggest of the big cheeses at ESPN. And if you watch this show religiously, I got an email from Wendy Perry about a month ago, and her husband, Belmont, they're big, big fans of the show. And Belmont's big NC State fans. They become big NC State women's basketball fans. And Wendy sent me a email and said, Pac, I love the show, love the dogs, but you guys need to spend more time on women's basketball and NC State. So she gave me this long letter, and I read it. And, of course, I respond to every email. And she mentions, oh, by the way, my son-in-law is Jimmy Pitaro, who runs ESPN. And so that became kind of a running thing on our show. And so little did we know, 10 minutes before the broadcast on Saturday night, we're up there, got the headsets on, pretend we're professionals. At least I was. Wes is one, and so is Debbie. They're Hall of Famers. And that gentleman that you see right there comes up, kind of taps me on the shoulder. I take off the headset. He goes, hey, Mark, I'm Jimmy Pitaro. Oh, hey, what are we doing? And so we end up having a conversation, and he talks about his mother-in-law, Wendy, and I said, oh, yeah, we're going back and forth. We become kind of pen mates and all that good stuff. And he goes, oh, I appreciate the job you guys do. He goes, listen, I don't normally do this, but would you mind taking a picture with me?
And of course you said yes.
I said, sure, whatever you want to do. You're the boss. Yeah. And so this is the this is Jimmy Pitaro taking the picture, asking me for a selfie. So there's the photo. And again, you can see the great view I had in the background. There's the steel beam and rivets and dust particles. But we appreciate the boss, number one, stopping by, making time for
making us. Making the trek up to the corner.
And so now I call my friend Jimmy. That's my friend Jimmy, Jimmy Pitaro. And it became...
What are we going to do here?
Oh, what are you talking about? We got free parking for life is what we got.
What are we going to do here?
So there it is. So the boss, hey, you know, we're tight.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, we're good. We're good. I mean, nobody had a better weekend than me. Shoe blimp, being in Cameron, and hanging out with the boss.
Wait a second. The term, we're good, is that like...
Oh,
we're good.
Oh,
or you're good.
Well, you know, and you, by the way, you better give a shout out to Wendy because she's the one that sent the note to my man Jimmy, my friend Jimmy, about you getting your Disney pin after 1 year. I want to make
is
sure
that all she got.
That was
for me?
Part of. She
thanks, Wendy.
Wendy's great. And so the funny thing is, after that picture, which was Saturday night before the game, when by the time I got home, whatever it was, midnight. The first thing I did is I sent Wendy a note.
Yeah.
And I said, by the way, I said, had a good time at the Duke North Carolina game. I said, a fine young gentleman came up and introduced himself to me. Mm. And he dropped your name and asked for a picture. And I, of course, obliged. Oh, by the way, his name is Jimmy Pitaro. And so she responded back. She goes, I watched your guy. I didn't watch ESPN. I watched everything on the.
I mean,
so
she got to see the whole game.
Yeah. So she watched the whole thing. So she said, it's Mark. She goes, Jimmy's already sent me the picture. So they had already hooked up.
Friend Jimmy.
My friend Jimmy.
Yes.
That's it.
So
it worked out great. What a weekend. What a weekend. Nobody had it better than me this weekend. Nobody.
You know what they say, kids? The sun shines on the dog's proverbial rear end.
Let me tell you something.
A lot.
You're going to laugh at this. I do a lot of stupid things, but I have one trait that has followed me around since birth. When I go out, crazy stuff happens to me. Stuff like that happens to me.
Yeah.
All the time. Don't ask me why. We're going to go to Turks and Caicos. What happens? I almost drown. I mean, just stupid stuff happens to me all
and Perky the Plumlee.
Time. Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that.
You could have been on the floor. Probably, you know, you could have been on the floor with the Plumlees on Saturday
right.
if you wanted to.
Right.
It's amazing what you
crazy
get to do.
Stuff happens to me when I
it's
get out of the house.
It's unbelievable what happens with you.
It's the truth.
It is.
It's the truth.
But all those people greeted you. You're walking into the building. People, hey, Pack, how's it going? Where are the dogs? How many where are the dog questions?
Well, let me tell you. It's funny. We get to Cameron.
Right.
Of course, I didn't get a chance to park at Nina's house, which is disappointing, but I get it. So I ended up parking in a hotel, and ESPN was kind enough to get a car.
Mr. Packer had a call service.
No, you're going to like this. So they hooked me up with a car. They're driving and dropped me off literally right there at the front.
Yeah.
So I get out of the car. The very first person I see
Nina King?
No.
Oh. Mike Krzyzewski?
No.
Oh.
Dan Shulman, Jay Billis, and Holly Rowe. Door opens. I get out. And, hey, Nolan, appreciate the ride. Shut the
Nolan
car.
Nolan Smith dropped you off?
No. And I get out, and I literally turned around, and the first person I see is Dan Shulman, Jay Billis, and, of course, Holly's got the blue dress on. I said, Holly, because we have a thing on the radio, so I'm her fashion coordinator. I said, devil with a blue dress. And she said, oh, yeah. So there it is. That's the kind of goofy stuff that happens to me.
There you go.
The rest is history. By my man, Jimmy. My friend. I call him my friend, Jimmy.
Yeah. Okay, there
we
go.
Tight.
Okay, that's good. When we come back,
don't
you
be
hurt.
Jealous.
I'm
don't
not
be jealous.
He was a very nice guy. Very nice.
Jimmy,
I enjoyed our visit, albeit brief, very much.
Well, yeah.
Worst of the weekend should've coming up around. Next. That list, fortunately, is short but impactful. Next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, all right, we just gave you the best of the best of the weekend. There's always the other side, Wes.
The list is not nearly as dense, but it is impactful.
Yep.
You've cobbled together here a couple interesting ones. Expected Duke postgame celebration parties?
I just thought the worst of the weekend was the expectations of what the postgame was going to look like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was the exact opposite of what happened.
No doubt about that.
And that's why it's on there. I mean, people were just stunned. I mean, it was just like they didn't know what to do. I mean, it was just like this. It was not supposed to end this way. Look at that. I mean, it's just crazy.
Jay Will was calling timeouts in the seats there, going to one break.
Hey, folks were bummed out, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Just, it was crazy.
By the way, did you see Maryland got in on the act, too? Did you see that on social media? Maryland went back to 2004 and ran a clip from an ACC tournament broadcast.
Well, I would suggest for the University of Maryland, perhaps you should watch your own team.
That would
I
be...
turned it off yesterday when y'all were down 18-1 after missing your first 15
what was
shots.
That?
That's just me. But, hey, Maryland, you control all you want. You guys have joined the Big Ten, and all you do is want to talk about your rivalry with Duke and Virginia and everybody else. So you enjoy the Big Ten. Congratulations.
Courtney Banghart still winless at the ACC tournament.
Yeah, she joined us. She did not get the Packer and Durham bump.
No.
Did not.
Did not.
And neither did Jeff Walls.
No, Jeff Walls didn't either. So we're going to have a hard time next year in Greensboro.
Like
nobody will want to be on the show.
I like Courtney being on, man. But what a great game, though. Good gosh.
It was a terrific game. We're going to have
tremendous.
Two segments of blimp flying at this rate next year in Greensboro.
Yep.
So, tough loss for Carolina.
But I tell you what, the ACC Women's Tournament had some unbelievable games.
Yeah.
Incredible games.
Sure did. Syracuse blows an 18-point lead to Miami again.
Again.
Finishes the season 1-500.
Seen this movie before.
The last minute of this thing.
It was stupid.
Insanity.
Gosh,
right?
I mean, come on, man.
Look at Isaiah Wong,
You got to win that game if you're Syracuse, right? I mean, if you're Miami, you're like, hey, we got them right where we want them. We're down 18. Watch this. Ta-da.
I think the Canes are a little dangerous this week in Brooklyn, by the way. Very under the radar in some respect.
All right, we'll see.
Hokie injuries in the ACC Women's Tournament.
It's tough.
Yeah. Liz Kittley goes down. Just hard to kind of keep the momentum going, to be honest.
What made their win against North Carolina so spectacular. Right. I mean, they were the walking wounded. And, again, it was such a tremendous game back and forth, a little overtime action. It was good.
Kelly did not play in the semis against NC State. And Kenny Brooks thinking bigger picture there, I'm sure.
Yep.
And she did come out and warm up but did not play. So we'll see what happens on that front. When the by the way, women's field and men's field both announced next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville, a one and done at the tournament.
99.9% chance to win, according to BPI. Up 15, about 5 minutes to go, and here comes the Canes.
Wow.
What a rally. What a game this was.
Crazy, right? Just
unbelievable.
Crazy. A jump shot for the ages, by the way, by Destiny Harden.
Jeff Walls took total responsibility afterwards. He said, listen, I'm expecting to play 3 games in 3 days. I got a lead, going to substitute. And, you know, all of a sudden you lose momentum and it can get away from you. And it did.
Virginia Tech on the men's side. Did the bubble burst in Clemson?
That was not what they were looking for. They're still on the outside looking in. And as we said about, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, it's going to come down to Brooklyn. And it does for the Hokies. They're playing good basketball. But you just thought, hey, on the road, can you still take it? This is a terrific win for Clemson. Obviously, we discussed it in the best list.
Yep.
But for the Hokies, this was a tough loss now. You got to really crank it up in Brooklyn to get in.
Tigers are really kind of showing you something down the stretch here. It'd be interesting to see how they go in Brooklyn starting tomorrow.
Could have a rematch, like I said. That game, you could see that game again this week.
Yep, sure could. It's NC State and Clemson, and the winner gets the 7 seed, the Hokies. Charlotte North on this list for one goal.
She's been on the best of list every week since the season started because she's scoring 4, 5, 6 goals a game. But I put her on there because, number one, she only scored one goal, which is unheard of. But the problem is, for the opposition, they got more than just one player at BC.
By the way, did you see the back end of that highlight? Can we kind of roll that highlight again? I want you to watch the official come in and pick up the stick and do the old ball measurement. Watch this. Charlotte's going to score. She'll sweep back in front here. Fire it in, right? Okay. She puts the stick down right there. Now watch the official come in. Okay, let me check the stick here. Make sure that everything is absolutely legal and there's no tomfoolery going on. What are we doing?
I don't understand. Again, it's the nuances of the sport of which I'm just not familiar with.
What are we doing? NC State baseball swept by Northeastern.
Yeah, what's going on? And last week was all about Tommy White going yard, and here's the Wolfpack, 8th in the country, and some group come Northeastern comes in there and just pounded them for 3.
Out of the CAA come South. Get away from the Boston winner.
Goodness gracious, Wolfpack Nation. What was this all about? It was a good weekend for the Pack. Wrestling was great. Women's basketball is great. And Elliott's guys did not have a good weekend.
Tell you what now, the Huskies, you come take 3 from NC State. That's got staying power in it, kids.
Yeah, scored them 20-6.
That's got staying power, like the rest of the year type staying power. March series at Impact in May. Duke handshake line after the Carolina loss.
I'm going to tell you, this is just me. I did not like this. We just had the fiasco at Wisconsin and Michigan. I didn't like this move at all. I got to tell you, Sorry, you're not going to get a pass from me on this one. You got to shake the man's hand, man. Come on, it's Duke Carolina. You guys are above that.
All right.
You're above that. Got to be better
than
that.
You want to see that in that game. Not that series,
right? The look
away,
I didn't like anything about that. That's that rivalry to me, I put on a different pedestal.
Yep.
And you know what? Win or lose, man, you're still Duke. You're still Carolina. You got to be better than that.
Louisville's Ali Alexander with the rare Grand Slam single.
How about this one?
Okay. There it is. Base is loaded. That ball is out of there. And Allie's only going to turn it first. Hey. I'm not going to touch them all. We'll win. That's fine.
Free biscuits? What are you talking about? Hey, you just went yard, man. You got to touch them all. Grand Slam walk-off? Allie. Come on now.
We may need to get Allie on the show. Allie, what are you doing?
Oh,
you got a chance for a GS.
Touch them all.
You walk that thing home.
Touch them all.
All right.
That's some kind of weekend, though, wasn't it? Best and worst of?
Yeah, boy, you did a good job.
Thank you very much.
And Drew Brooks there. All right, when we come back, was Saturday at Cameron Carolina's biggest regular season win ever. It's one Tar Heel loyalists are talking about this morning. And we'll talk about it next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
To see players from all those eras and more tonight. It's a fascinating night of sports in many respects, I think.
There's no doubt. But, you know, guys, keep in mind, it's still the game. It's Duke and it's Carolina. And let me tell you something. Those boys from Chapel Hill are coming into town to ruin the party.
They're relaxed. They're loose. They went through warm-ups. They look like they're ready to have some fun. This game has always mattered and means something. And certainly is the case again tonight.
Oh, boy. Look what happened on the way to the end of the night, right? Good call. Absolutely. I think you and I talked about it on the show last week. There's way too much stuff going on in a Duke-Carolina game.
So. I said on radio, I sit here on Saturday in the show, mm-hmm. You know what? The one thing nobody talked about last week was what happens if North Carolina wins the game?
Yeah, right.
Nobody talked about it. It's like, hey, it's still Duke-Carolina. It's the game. The game is the cake, not the icing.
We have a few questions here. I know we got new viewers from everywhere. Can I share this one real quick before
sure.
we get into whether this is
Carolina? From my friend Jimmy?
No, it's not.
I figured,
it's
you
not.
Know why? Because he would have called me.
Yeah, probably, since I know you gave him your cell the other night. At TrippyDog15.
Excuse me?
Yeah, TrippyDog15, who's from Eastern Maryland, Wake fan, Wake grad, 72. What is the Swiss? It appears to be Wake, but why?
Wake Forest.
Remember, I keep forgetting, and we got new people watching the show all the time, so refer to Wake as the Swiss.
Wake Forest, 15, 20 years ago on radio, I called Wake Forest Switzerland. And the reason for it is everybody is happy for Wake. Wake's the only team in the ACC, in my opinion, that doesn't really have any animosity towards it. Wake Forest,
right.
When they win, people are like, oh, man, good for Wake. Isn't that great? When they lose, it's like, oh, man, poor Wake. You know, you'll get it back. So Wake, I called them the Swiss.
Right.
And, you know, John Curry's got it going on to the point now that the Swiss might need to be reinvented. I mean, football was rocking. Hoops had a great year.
Yeah.
The golf team's spectacular. The baseball team's off to a blazing start. I mean, they're really doing some great stuff in Winston-Salem. But that is the reason Wake is referred to as the Swiss.
There you go. All right. Appreciate the question. Appreciate you watching Packer and Durham on ACC Network. All right. People are discussing Adam Lucas, who's been with us before. He and Jones Angel do the Carolina Insider podcast, and we're talking on after the ball game with Duke on their podcast. When's the last time? Jones speculates this might be Carolina's biggest regular season win ever. Sir?
Well, it's got to be on the short list. Worst case scenario.
Right.
Worst case scenario, it's on the short list. And like I defined earlier, to me, when you get Duke and North Carolina folks together, start barking at one another about who's the best, a North Carolina fan will reference this game in their argument.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. I mean, regardless of who's right or who's wrong, that's up for other speculation. But it's got to be on North Carolina's shortlist. You go on the road and beat the number 4 ranked team, your arch rival, on their biggest night that I can even think of. I mean, we talked about on the game Saturday, prior to the game Saturday night, there had been 1,100 men's Duke basketball games in that building. There was never one bigger than the one that was played Saturday night in terms of the hype, the anticipation, the rivalry, what was at stake, Coach K's last game, and North Carolina rolls in there as a double-digit dog and wins by 13. If you don't think that's not on a short list, you're crazy.
Okay.
It could be the number one.
Let me tell you how I started this process yesterday and last night a little bit. I started the process by going back and looking at Duke Carolina games almost exclusively, right? And there have been number one games where Carolina beat a top-ranked Duke team. Now, remember, we said on the broadcast the other night, it had been since 1990 since an unranked Carolina team beat a ranked Duke team at Cameron. 1990, Duke was fifth in the country. Carolina won the game. So, take that into account. In my opinion, the biggest moment of the series non-Carolina related, the biggest stage, like K's final home game, second to that is only one night, and Duke won that particular game by 20, and that was Dick Groat's senior night game in 1952. And you say, well, Dick Groat was arguably the greatest two-sport athlete in ACC history. Charlie Ward won a Heisman Trophy, played in the ACC tournament. But Dick Groat was a marvelous baseball player, spectacular basketball player, jersey retired in both sports, right, by Duke. Dick Groat was celebrated on senior night. He scored 46 points in the win for Duke. So it doesn't qualify as the win. But that might have been the biggest game prior to the other night in terms of Cameron Indoor history in the series, right?
Yes.
Okay. For Carolina specifically, then you go off the page, non-Duke regular season wins. Dean Smith won at Kentucky in 1962-63, early in his career. For Dean Smith, at that time, to win at Kentucky Pack in the early 60s with Adolph Rupp, that was huge. Kentucky was ranked, but it wasn't this. I mean, you're starting to follow me here? Yeah, it's hard to find anything that compares to the other night for Carolina. I mean, and I got to give Steve Kirshner a lot of credit at Carolina. He helped me with some of this. Now, the Florida State comeback win, the 8 points in 17 seconds, that wasn't at Cameron. As spectacular and what we remember as 8 and 17, that wasn't at Cameron.
And this was more than just beating Duke at Duke.
Right.
This was Duke's night. This was Coach K's night. And so that's why the emphasis of 1,100 games had been played in that building for Duke men's basketball prior to Saturday night. And the buildup, I promise you, the 1,100 prior to that Saturday night were never bigger than that game Saturday night.
Right.
Guarantee you. And in North Carolina, as you mentioned, 11-point dog, wins by double digits. And I saw a stat where North Carolina was 1-11 as a double-digit dog versus Duke prior to Saturday night. 1-11.
Right.
And they win going away by 13. Hey, you put it however you want to put it. Like I said, it's on the short list for sure. And you could certainly make the case. But I guarantee you, every North Carolina fan will remind a Duke fan when they get into an argument about that game Saturday night.
I think this is – look, and I'm not trying to be, you know, just give you hyperbole on this. I honestly believe we're talking about one of Carolina's – if not the biggest regular season win, top three, top five? I mean, if somebody's got, you want to hit us on social media, 844-SAY-ACCN, you're welcome to join us and offer something here, but I can't compare it. I can't find one.
Well, I told you, it's the short list worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And maybe number one.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I would be hard pressed to think you could top it.
And here's a lesson for us, in all honesty. When it comes to this series now, and look, I got all the pomp and circumstance for Saturday night, and it's richly deserved. 42 years, you do all that, the whole nine yards, right? But you cannot mistake this series when it's these two. There is nobody, nowhere, no how. How many times we had to talk about Austin Rivers last week, and that's just recently, right? In the world of Duke Carolina, that's just recent. But when you think one comes with the thump on the other, it's never that way with this series sometimes, right? It always is amazing.
Wes, that's why I said Saturday night, hey, you know what? And the place was electric. Like I said, the fans were just awesome, and the building was just crazy. But it's still the game. Man,
yeah,
it's still Duke and Carolina, man. And folks can hate them all they want. I don't care. It's still Duke and Carolina. And you know what? It's one of the few series in sport, if you have no rooting interest, you pay attention. You know why? Because it's the game.
Yep. Here is Mike Krzyzewski from Saturday night after the ball game talking about the loss.
Look, Carolina played great. They played better than we did. You know, Hubert had them so well prepared. And, you know, they didn't play well against us the last time. And their program, like ours, is built on a lot of pride. And they showed that today. in coming here and really playing just a solid 40 minutes against us. And it started with defense, but their guards, you know, we couldn't keep them in front of us. And, you know, Baycott has been the player of the year in our conference, and he showed that again today. They're a really good team.
Coach K telling you who he voted for, maybe.
Well, he's right. They are a really good team, and they did outplay Duke Saturday night.
Yeah.
And you know what? Now we move on to Brooklyn, and who knows? You may get that game one more time for all we know.
Wow.
We'll see.
Jay in North Carolina. Before we get to break here, Jay, good morning.
Oh, hi. I'm packing. My thing, Pack, is you were wrong again when you picked against Carolina. You should know that that series is unpredictable, and the history tells you that Carolina always finished second in the league. And my player of the year is Baycott, and the coach of the year should be Hubert Davis for one reason, because of what they lost from last year. Kessler's at Auburn, Brooks is at Mississippi State, and all them other guys that left, but yet Hubert brought in new players and finished tied for second. So you can't beat that.
All right. Appreciate it, Jay.
You say I was wrong again? Is
yeah.
that what he said?
Yeah.
What was I wrong about?
I don't know.
I think I was the guy that said, excuse me, don't forget that North Carolina could win this game. I believe I was the guy that made that statement. So, Jay, get your phone fixed.
Let's go to Greensboro. Stuart with Packer and Durham. Hello, Stuart. Stuart, good morning.
Hello. Anybody
Stuart?
Home?
One more try for Stuart.
1,000. I'm getting a 5-second count.
Go, Stuart. Stuart, are you on?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Hey.
Yeah,
good morning. How are you, sir? Packer had you on the 5-second count.
That.
I'm glad you made it in the front court.
I called a timeout.
That's it.
A great one by you, Wes, getting with Kirsch on that win in Rupp. That was a good one. I'd also give you 06 in Cameron, Hansborough's first year, Reddick's senior night, 92. Duke and Smith Center after they won the national championship. I think Duke was undefeated. How about the first game in the Smith Center? The two teams were top five ranked. And I'll give you one, two others. And 71, Dean Smith's first national championship, the NIT championship under Dennis Weissick. And then another one, 1990, beating number one Oklahoma and to get to the Sweet 16 to preserve that streak for, I think, 15, 17 years.
It's a really good call. In fact, about the same time, Stuart, you were saying that, David Teal just sent me a text.
I was going to say that
Smith
list,
Center game.
That list is impressive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the trend with all that was those were really good ranked North Carolina teams.
Right.
You had Saturday was an unranked North Carolina team on the road. Not just senior night, K's last night.
That's it.
And that, to me, separates it.
I think the game that I would look to, both were ranked in 86 when they opened the Smith Center, as you said. But the pressure of opening, what if you lose your first game in your new building to your rival?
Well, there.
That's the only similarity.
Yeah,
though,
but
right?
To compare that to K's last game.
I'm with
dude's
you.
Dude's been coaching 40-some odd years. I mean, come on now. That was not just a regular season game. Saturday night.
That was a 95-92 game, too, by the way. That was a big scoring game like the other night.
Well, that was the thing that was so surprising. I mean, Duke had given up 81 points. That was the most points he had given up all year. That was to a Gonzaga team
right.
That's out of sight. They gave up 94 Saturday night.
When we come back, you also have been commenting on player and coach of the year. Social media, we've had several of your calls. We're going to dig into that. Plus, we have, yes, a brief look at tonight's episodes 9 and 10 of the tournament documentary that concludes tonight on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
The question was whether these football powers could compete on the basketball court. One coach who was particularly motivated to answer was Florida State's Leonard Hamilton, who was born in ACC country.
Growing up in North Carolina during the 60s and being a basketball junkie, I always looked forward to every day of the ACC tournament. Frank McGrind, Vic Bubas, and Bones McKinney.
The ACC Hamilton grew up watching had been an all-white conference, but he saw that begin to change.
This was right at the beginning of integration. Charlie Scott going to Carolina. That was huge in the African-American community.
Scott, up for the shot. Oh, what a move! The great Scott.
Watching them on TV gave me more motivation, you know, to work harder so that one day, hopefully, I could be playing like Charlie in the number one basketball conference in the history of college basketball.
Hamilton didn't play in the ACC, but he did make it there as a coach. In 2002, he took over a Florida State team that hadn't had a winning record in the ACC in almost a decade. And in 2012, he led them to a 12-4 conference record and passed three-time defending champion Duke in the ACC tournament semifinals.
A steal by Snare. Florida State really trying to show, we're as good as you are. We got swag. We're big time.
In their first ACC final, Florida State matched up against a powerful Carolina team.
Really picking up the pace defensively. It's stripped away.
But the Seminoles made a bold statement that they could play with the ACC's best.
Seminole for three. Yes! Tough to beat them when they make that perimeter shot like that.
Three to play. Heels down three.
Zeller gets the ball inbound. Pierce to dribble. Puts up a player. NBA three. It's no good! The Seminoles win! Florida State's the champions of the Atlantic Coast Conference!
And Hamilton, who looked up to pioneers like Charlie Scott, became a pioneer himself as the first African-American head coach to win an ACC title.
You know he's feeling great jubilation.
Being the first black coach to win it, I can open the doors for more guys. It gives me a real sense of pride.
Tonight at 9 o'clock, parts 9 and 10. We'll conclude the tournament documentary, A History of ACC Men's Basketball. By the way, if you're watching us on ACC Network today, you got an afternoon of the home office, you flip on ACCN at 1 o'clock, and you'll see all 10 in a row. How about that?
It has been a fabulous documentary.
Yep.
We knew it was coming and said, hey, get ready. Get your popcorn ready, like T.O. the other night with us. I mean, really, John Dahl and his whole staff, everybody associated with this thing, just tip of the hat.
Yep.
It's an incredible undertaking, but they've really captured what's so special about the ACC tournament.
So episodes 9 and 10 tonight at 9 o'clock. Episode 1 through 8 start at 1 o'clock today. That's a nice little treat for you in case you can set the DVR to run all afternoon if you need to. And then you can store them away. Coming up, we are moments away from announcing the official ACC Men's Basketball Awards. We'll do that at 9 o'clock, and it's always our pleasure to do so. So we're 7 minutes away from maintaining our streak, by the way.
And we're going to get there.
Yeah.
Because I have not said a word. When I saw the list yesterday,
yeah,
I was like, well, off we go to the races. 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Here are some more social reaction. Remember, we asked you for your thoughts using the account ACC Network. Who would you vote for? Player of the year, coach of the year, defensive player of the year. And I think those are the three most competitive awards. John Schick says defensive player of the year is Reese Beekman of Virginia. No one else in the conversation.
He'd be wrong about that.
The
second sentence, he would be absolutely 1 trillion percent wrong. There's a bunch in the conversation.
Xavier Richardson says defensive player of the year, Reese Beekman, and it's not close. Defense is so much more than blocking shots. I'm going to guess that's in reference to Mark Williams.
I'm going
to
tell you it was close.
Yeah. Coach of the year at New Sparky 69 says Mike Bray. Here again, we're going back to this conversation. Notre Dame was picked middle of the road. Miami and Wake were 12 and 13.
12 and 13, respectively.
So, boy, pretty unbelievable. So, Appreciate the correspondence and the participation. We're taking a lot of phone calls this morning, too.
The debates will really get cranked up here at 9 a.m., promise you.
Yeah. We will also be talking to the player of the year and the coach of the year at 9 o'clock hour.
That today. Is correct.
So here we go.
I'm not giving out any more hints. Done.
That's it.
I'm done till 9.
We're gonna talk to the player of the year and the coach of the year. No more hints.
No more hints. I could give you all kinds of hints, but I am sworn to secrecy. And we have yet. This is show 579. Matter of fact, 4 years ago today on this Monday, not the date, but this Monday, we started this excursion on radio.
Yeah, we did.
So it's kind of an anniversary show of some shape, way, or form.
Yeah. And somehow along the line, Seth Greenberg still owes you a steak.
He does. He still hasn't paid off his bet. But the point I'm making with all this is we have been given the opportunity to make official announcements from the Greensboro headquarters.
Yep.
And not one time have we screwed it up. Not once.
In fact, the streak continues in a moment. On the other side, the official ACC Men's Basketball Awards are next. Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved, Sixth Man, all three teams, an honorable mention, next.
Packer and Durham.